We are live. We are recording this right now. Welcome to the Jeff Ibbert podcast. I'm here with Chris Spengel.
Hi.
I don't know if I should introduce. Should I introduce myself? This is the first episode.
Yeah, nobody knows who you are. Don't make the mistake that so many do.
Yeah. My name is Jeff Ibbert. I'm a selfless lover. That's all you need to know about me, really. I'm here with Chris Spengel. He's a coworker of mine.
Yes.
For a nationally syndicated radio show.
Are we going to mention the name, or are you afraid you'll get in trouble?
I'm afraid I'll get in trouble.
All right. It's the Bob and Tom Show.
Chris Spengel said it,
not me. It is the greatest radio show in the history of the world. I'm the web director. You get paid approximately $375 a year.
You saw my paycheck in there on the nightstand.
I didn't actually see the amount.
Yeah, well, you would have gotten sick to your stomach.
Well, you turned it over because you didn't want me to get jealous.
I didn't want you to get embarrassed.
Yeah, you live in the swankiest part of downtown. You live in a giant house. You have two cars.
I do have two cars. I'm doing very well. I'm looking at my iPhone 6 right now. Did I start my timer? Nope.
You know what's funny is that your house has no heat.
Yeah.
But you have an iPhone 6.
Yeah. I have roommates, and the roommates don't want to... If it was up to me, I'd turn the heat on.
Right.
We're freezing in here.
Well, this place is huge, so you would definitely pay a lot of money.
It costs a house to heat my house. That's how much it costs. Like it has a lot of windows. It's very big. We're here in the belly of the beast right now. Not many people have seen the inside of my house. They've seen the inside of my room, if you know what I'm saying.
It's very impressive.
No, thank you. Yeah.
I'm looking at your food shelf. You have sea salt and cooking stock.
I do use sea salt.
Olive oil.
That cooking stock is from an earlier administration. She bought it. I don't know what to do with it.
Just keep it for sentimental reasons?
I once said, I will drink this for $3.
You can. It just tastes like an over-flavorful chicken noodle soup.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I got the bottle of Jameson over there.
All right. So what do we do here? Tell me about your podcast.
The podcast is we're just going to kind of let it go organically. I think after sitting here, I've been inspired. I say we just talk about squirrels that come past the window
because
for 40 minutes.
You work in radio. You should know that the visual doesn't often work on radio.
Well, that's why we talk about this. It's a big squirrel. it's got a tail that's really fluffy. I don't know. Well, this is going great so far.
Look at it.
See, it's up in that tree. Yeah.
It is huge.
I have very hardy trees in my backyard that are very big. They supply lots of shade for me in the summer. They're great.
How are you, as the host of this podcast, going to entertain the listener?
That's a good question. See, I want to start off with a lightning round of questions.
Okay.
But
you didn't write down any questions.
I wrote some down, but I was thinking if I have a multitude of guests when this podcast is doing very well and very successful, how am I going to think of that many questions?
Define success.
We're going to be making billions of dollars.
Okay.
That's billions of the B. We're going to have so much money coming in, I'm not going to know where to put it.
I have done a podcast for 4 years now, and I have made approximately $200 off of it. I have spent probably $2,000-$3,000 on it.
Oh, yeah. We're in the red right now with this podcast.
Yeah.
Everything you're looking at, I bought out of my own pocket.
Right.
And woo!
You've had quite a month. You bought new tires.
I bought new tires for my new vehicle. I'm not driving the truck anymore.
You have a Buick.
I have a Buick. Or as Miss Pat would say, a Berg.
Are we going to talk about you and Miss Pat?
We can talk about that in a little bit. This is about you.
All right. Yeah, sorry.
So I'm not. Let me handle this.
All right. I'm going to put my microphone down.
Okay. So I'm here with Chris Spengel. We're coworkers. Should we talk about how we met first?
I put the microphone down.
Okay. His microphone is down.
Okay. Yes. Go ahead.
So Chris Spengel was hired on in October.
Yeah. I've worked for the Bob and Tom Show. Well, yeah, for about a year now. So my official 1 year anniversary of coming in every morning is next week.
Oh,
but I've been around the show. I started working with Tom in June of 2013, and then that kind of led to a consulting thing with the Bob and Tom Show, which turned into the web director's
by spot. Working for him, you mean fixing his iPhone and his Gmail, correct?
I was one of his guys. Yeah. So one of the guys that you hear that he hires, I became one of those.
Oh, I was the same way. He came into my office one time that he didn't know it was my office and goes, do you want a job? I go, yeah, that's easy. And then he goes, ask your parents first. And I go,
shut up.
I go, I go, I'm a grown man. Like my parents aren't going to say, no, don't take a job. No. Oh, yeah. God. So he told me to ask my parents first if I could take the job. So that was, and then later on, as we talked about today on another podcast I was on, name dropping.
Yeah, you're on the Chick McGee podcast, which is the only reason anybody knows anything about this podcast, I'm sure. Like,
oh yeah, no, hopefully we have three listeners from that podcast. They're like, I'll give it a try. I've got nothing else to do today.
It was one of the funniest moments. Like, and the more I think about it, the more I realize how similar I am to Tom. I never thought there was anybody else out there like me, but I'm just like him. It's so funny to watch him live because he is exactly, you know, he is, they play characters on the air, it's their personalities, but yeah, kind of times five, but he still does Tom stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, he walked into your office, I'm sitting there one day, and he walks over and he goes, hey Jeff, hey Tom, does anybody use this office? Well, yeah, I do.
As
and, and he goes, like, every day? Yeah, like every day. All right, well, we're going to need this office. All right, have a good day. And, like, you immediately come in and you go, am I getting fired? Is it all over?
I was literally every day I come in, I just assume is my last day. I assume everyone hates me and they don't want me there. Which isn't true. I'm starting to feel more comfortable the more I'm there.
Somebody who grew up with the show, you think, gee, do I want to meet my heroes?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
oh yeah,
and I wanted to be in radio because I wanted to be Bob or Tom.
Yeah,
I started listening at 6, 7 years old, walking to school, and
on your Walkman.
On my Walkman, okay. That's right. And then you work for them, and you realize what a great group of people they actually are. You know, like there's like Chick couldn't be a nicer person. Tom couldn't be a more generous person. You know, Christy uh-huh. is super sweet. Bob is very generous, and they do so much for charity, and mm-hmm. they really are a great group of people. And I think people, they just walk away with what they hear on the show, so it's kind of it's a lot of fun to get to see a different perspective.
Yeah,
you know, but it was incredibly intimidating last year coming in,
mm-hmm.
and being in this group of people that you have only known through the radio, so you don't know them at all, but you feel like you know them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it was a little bit of a weird circumstance in my situation, who is one of our coworkers who's the guest booker and the personal assistant. It's like the team mom.
Yeah.
Like she couldn't be more welcoming and inviting. And it just, so it's been a really interesting experience, but a great one. You know, it's not always been comfortable, but you know,
yeah,
getting to know a group of strangers.
Yeah, it's scary, and I think we're kind of the same age. You're 29, I'm 24.
I was in first grade when you were born.
In comparison to the other people on the show,
well, yeah,
I mean, there's 20 year gap.
You, myself, and Grace all kind of have the same. You know, we're the younger kids on the staff. And
yeah, but I'd say we bonded pretty. Yeah. Pretty quickly, I'd say we
mostly because close. We're going. What is Tom talking about?
Yeah, can we talk about the? I think the first time you were going through some stuff.
You can. I don't care about what we talk about.
Chris Spangle got a divorce, and then of course I hawked his iPad off of him during the divorce, which is the lowest thing I maybe have ever done.
You took advantage of me.
I did, but the iPad sitting right in front of us,
selling everything I owned. I'm staring at my iPad sitting on his coffee table. He's caressing it in his hands.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, don't make me look like a bad guy.
No, I have volitionally. I sold it on my own volition.
You put it on Facebook, and I was just the first person to respond to it. I remember I was sitting in my ethics of consumption class, checking my poor person iPhone 4 at the time, and I saw the ad. But no, you started coming in, and you weren't talking as much. You kept the light off in your office. And I sent you an email that just said, hang in there or something. Don't kill yourself.
Well, it was, and actually, if you listen to my podcast, It's We Are Libertarians. There's an episode that's posted in late February with a girl named Gina on it. It's the last time she was on it. If you listen to that podcast halfway through, like I'm talking, I'm happy, having a good time, and then I just stop talking.
Yeah.
And it's because during that podcast, I had maybe forgotten to mention to my wife that I was having people over, and that made her pretty upset.
Yeah.
Upset enough to pack her things and never come back. And I'm watching my soon-to-be ex-wife pack up her things and leave, and that was the last time I saw her. That's the last time I've seen her in person, was during that podcast and that night. And then, like, the next day, I'm just crushed. I didn't tell anybody for about a week. You were the only person that was able to figure it out because we had a rapport and we worked next to each other, and you'd come in and talk during the breaks. And you were like, something's going on. So you send out a log every day, and you're like, we all love you. Please don't hang yourself.
Yeah. I was concerned.
I was a mess. My wife was leaving me, and it's been a super, super weird year.
Yeah.
Like, to go from working in the political industry for 10 years to working on a comedy show and doing totally switching my career, and then a month later, my wife, we'd been together 7 years, leaves me. So it's been a crazy year, personally. And truthfully, the only sane, stable part of my life over the last 10 months has been working
me.
For the Bob and Tom.
Oh, the Bob and Tom. Okay, all
working
right.
for the Bob and Tom show, which people, Joni was like, really? I'm like, yeah. You were the first person I told because you figured it out, and I didn't tell anybody else for like another week.
Yeah, and then there's the infamous Christmas dinner.
It was about a month later, and I was like, all right, well, my wife had told me on Monday night that we were getting divorced, that she was going to file for divorce. And I was like, all right, well, I need to figure out insurance because I'm on her insurance. So I emailed Tom and our two other bosses, and I said, hey, this is what's happening. I need to look into insurance. You know, they were all like, really? When did this happen? I said, a month ago. Yeah. And like nobody, I'm most proud that nobody knew except you, because my work hopefully hadn't suffered. And so Tom figured, he's like, well, you sent it to all these people, and I just figured I was the last one to know. And
yeah,
I hadn't told anybody, but you knew.
Yeah.
And Joni knew. And then I told Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tom told everybody. And I mean, the 15 people that work in the Bob and Tom universe.
Yeah.
At a lunch that my wife had left me. And he did it. If you go to my SoundCloud, I have a personal SoundCloud. Just look up my name on SoundCloud and you can hear the segment where Chick talks about it. And it was just fantastic. But one of the funniest things that's ever happened to me.
To sum it up, we're sitting there at a Hibachi Grill. Spangle is off on his own. Like, we're all sitting pretty close, and Spangle's like the farthest he can be from everyone. And then Tom said something about,
you look kind of sad over there.
Did your wife leave you or something?
Sad because your wife kicked you out of the house?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, for the day?
Yeah.
So is she going to leave you any money?
and
the look that, this is when I immediately knew that I was going to like Chick. Because I'd been there for a little bit, and like he and I had kind of talked a little bit, but I didn't, you know, I hadn't really talked to everybody.
Right.
And like Chick looked at me with such a look of concern and sadness and disgust, and like you could tell that he was just like, it was very, you know. And then Christy and Potasnik looked at me.
Yeah.
And Christy goes, are you getting divorced? Yeah. Like five people look at him, you son of a bitch, you asshole.
Yeah.
And he and I just start dying laughing because it's so funny.
The reason I knew that it was bad was Potasnik was upset with it. And Potasnik is the worst person in the world.
Oh.
I'm kidding. The only reason I say that is because last night he was texting me making fun of my podcast.
At least he knows about it.
That is true.
You've got more buzz going for your first podcast than most podcasts.
That is true.
This is going to translate into tens and tens of listeners.
So, good news for my listeners, bad news for my haters.
There you go.
We just high-fived over the table. But yeah, no, now you bought a car right after that. Literally, right after that lunch,
literally that
you
day.
Went and bought a car.
Yeah,
it's not a car. It's a Chrysler.
So that Monday night, my wife says, no, I'm filing for divorce. And she had already written the paperwork, had already filed it, had not told me yet. And it wasn't until I said, what are we doing here? That she finally manned up and said, oh, well, I filed for divorce.
Right.
So I had 7 days to find an apartment, buy furniture for it, furnish the entire place. Buy things like shower curtains.
Yeah.
I left her everything. Like, my attitude at that time was, I want a fresh start.
Yeah.
I don't want her to struggle, which is like the stupidest mentality you could ever have. Because I didn't do anything wrong to her. Like, yeah. She actually, you know, was definitely the other way around.
But I think that's admirable. I think that helps you sleep.
I was
at
just
night.
Kinda
you're
like,
the bigger man.
Yeah, I wanted to take the high road. And I just basically spent 6 days shopping apartments, shopping furniture, going to Walmart, trying to just put a life together, going to Menards, buying everything.
Yeah.
I had to buy towels, I had to buy dishes, I had to buy silverware.
Right.
I took one bookshelf from the apartment, and I took my TV, and I took my clothes, and then like the stuff that was legitimately mine.
Right, right.
I left her all the furniture, I left her all the wedding gifts, all that stuff. And in that period, my car died. So I had to buy a car. I had bought that car that I drove a month after I met her, and it died the day after that she asked for a divorce.
So and, symbolic.
And it had, yeah, I know, deep. And and it ended up being the day of the lunch. So, like, I roll up, my car died. They said it was totaled, the engine shot, it's worth $2,000, and it's going to cost $2,000 to fix.
Right.
So what can I do to get you in a new car today? So I went to a couple places. I spent an afternoon shopping for a car. And I ended up driving off with a brand new Chrysler 200.
It's not a car.
It's a Chrysler. It's an imported vehicle from Detroit.
From Detroit. That's right.
And the next day after the lunch, that obviously was the topic of the behind the scenes of the Bob and Tom show. And then you start the rumor, Tom felt so bad that he bought Spangle a car.
I love turning up the rumors. Start the rumor mill, baby.
A couple people actually were like, did he really? I was like, no.
And then was it someone started the rumor that your headlight went out, so you just bought a new car?
No, it was just chick. It was the best line. He goes, Spangle's such a badass that his headlight goes out and he replaces it with a brand new car. So
because you are doing very well.
So I'm trying. You know, so it that was, you know, I bought a car like most people buy a loaf of bread. I rented an apartment after work. I went to four different places and found an apartment. The next day, I went to every furniture store known to man looking for couches. I bought, you know, and I walked into a Kittles and I said, I want that, and that.
That's a big life experience. You got divorced, but now I'd say, what is it now, 10 months later?
Yeah.
You're doing... Not to say it again, you're doing very well. Like, I mean, you got a car, you got your own place with a private pond that is stocked with fish right off the highway.
Right.
But you're out there, you're getting it in, trying to, whatever you're doing, I don't know. We kind of talk about these things, but no, would you say you're a better person now because of it?
Oh, yeah. Like, when you go through, you know, I used to run my day-to-day stuff, okay?
Yeah.
So I worked by myself for 5-6 years, and so I managed myself. I worked in politics, and I worked in an industry that was, you know, I did various different jobs, but for 10 years I worked in politics, and then all of a sudden I'm a web director, and I'm working on a radio show, a comedy show, and I was... You know, it's not like I wasn't prepared for it, but it
right.
was a different change of pace. So different that you are still learning stuff, and you're coming into a show that is very tight-knit with a group of people that have known each other for a very long time.
Right.
I was probably the first new employee in 15 years that was of that existing group, with the exception of you.
Right. Yeah.
And I was coming in a very difficult position. Now, nobody held anything against me. And it worked out for the best, but that was a lot of stress. And then to add on top of that, you are comfortable and your life is going fine. And I'm thinking right. one day, like, God, I have my dream job. I'm good at my job. I feel like this is the first time everything suits my skill set.
Right.
I'm on cloud nine. Like, life can't get any better. And literally 4 days later, my wife leaves me.
Right.
You know, so I don't know that anything's wrong. And then all of a sudden, she's divorcing me. And so that just took it to a whole nother level. And it's been a crazy year of doing things that I never thought I would do, both good and bad.
Yeah.
And sort of learning to not be so uptight about yeah. everything, you know, and not trying to be, because, you know, I am a lot like Tom. I have my routines. I have my definite thoughts about life, and this is the yeah. way things ought to be. And then everything got turned upside down, so you have to kind of reevaluate everything. So,
right.
you know, and then on top of that, it's not easy when your body, my body schedules sleep from midnight to wake up at 10 a.m.
Right.
Now I'm going to bed at 11 and waking up at 5, you know, so
yeah.
you're getting half the sleep you should, and that just screws with you a little bit too. So it's definitely been the most terrible and wonderful year of my life.
Right.
At the same time, there's not been a day where I haven't been in absolute misery and agony or absolute joy and happiness. You know, I mean, it's really been a bizarre year.
The magic and the misery come and go so easily.
Yep. I have grown so much this year because of all these different experiences. I've become so much tougher than I ever thought I would be.
Yeah.
Mentally, emotionally. You know, and you just don't know things about yourself until you get to this point where you're really thrown into the fire in
right.
a lot of different ways.
Right. You gotta go into that darkness and explore it a little bit.
Listen, I'm not a badass like you. I'm not walking around with cuts on my faces.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know how I got this cut, but it was probably a badass way. I don't know. Yeah, I have a cut underneath my eye. I like to think I was in a boxing ring and I got in a fight and I was like, cut me. And they did it, and then...
Truth is, you probably just scratched your face too hard.
I think so, because I came back into your office, and I go, do I have a cut under my eye? And you go, no, there's nothing there. And then I went to the bathroom, and go, there's definitely a cut in my eye.
I keep it dark in there.
Yeah, you do. There's some times when you go past Spangle's office, and it's literally just a computer screen on, and it is pitch black in there, other than that, and it's kind of creepy.
That's because I hate fluorescent
lights. Oh, yeah, they're the worst.
They're the worst.
I'm with you. But let's try to get away from the show a little bit, because... I don't know how many people know about the show.
Should I just leave the mic here? Well, you know, we're talking about the show, but we're also talking about life's trials.
Yeah, we're talking about
struggles, and I guess we all should learn something. And I just say, you know, no matter how bad you think it's going to be, it always gets better. Because where I'm at now, I didn't think I'd be here months ago. You know, to the point that like I'm not as much as I've struggled with depression my entire life. And I've struggled more with depression this year than I ever have. I'm in a fantastic place now, you know, where
the squirrels are going at it.
You know,
you just said when you start talking about depression, I tried
you
to.
It gets better, people.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, I'm here to tell you don't kill yourself.
Thank you. Now I won't. But I don't know. That's all it took. Get why you're not a comic. You seem.
Me?
Yeah. Why are you not.
Because I'm miserable and depressed all the time in my personal life.
Yeah, so you should be a comedian. That is literally all it takes to be a comedian, is miserable and depressed all the time.
I was always a class clown, and I was always the funniest group of my friends, and I have always been told, like, why don't you do comedy?
Right.
You're the funniest person that I know. And then I went to work at the Bob and Tom show, and I realized like I'm the least funny person on staff.
Right? Yeah.
Like you get around Dean, and you're just like, nothing I think is a good idea. Like you measure yourself up against Chick, and you're just like, I can't come up with half of what the four of them in the studio say. You know, it's just
that's.
So I'm the type of person that says if I can't be the best at something, then I'm going to focus on what my skill set is, and I. As much public speaking as I have done over the years in politics, and I've spoken to thousands of people at a couple points. I don't know that I could stand up in a room of 20 people and do stand-up comedy, and maybe I'm just telling myself I can't.
Right.
Because it's so much more personal.
Yeah.
You know, if you're giving a political speech, you're really kind of representing an idea.
Right, right, right.
Whereas comedy, you are the idea that is being
You're exposing
presented.
Yourself, yeah, yeah. And your own feelings. Yeah, that's one thing that I've struggled with. For those of you who don't know that are listening, I do stand-up comedy. Spangle's trying not to laugh right now. I don't know why.
I don't know, because you have what I have, which is anytime you say anything serious, people don't take you seriously.
Exactly, yeah. But I do stand-up comedy, and one thing that I've kind of not struggled with, but it's hard to be confident when you're in the Bob and Tom studio every day and you see just this amazing talent come in and do their jokes and you're comparing yourself to them when you shouldn't be, because that's the best of the best that you're looking at.
Yeah. A guy like Dwight Slade, who
hilarious,
clearly great at writing, clearly good at performing, was great on the show, but he's done it for like 20, 30 years.
Exactly. Yeah. You know? I mean, he's a stand-up legend.
Right.
Who I worked with Dwight last week, and mm-hmm. It was great. He's the nicest guy on and off stage. He's hilarious, and he's 52, 55, and looks like he is 30.
The face of a supple young
child. I look very young. I hope that's what I look like when I'm...
Me too. I get baby face all the time. I know you do. Yeah, I just don't think I'm a good writer. I don't have... I'm a good editor.
So right.
I'm the type of person that can say, okay, that's why I like what I do, which is if, you know, I take the content from the show and I present it to the internet, present it in a way that's different than the way it was originally presented.
Right.
And so you have to know what's funny. You have to know what's going to work with the audience online. But I don't necessarily think that I can do what Dean does, which is sit down and write a bit. I don't know that I could sit down and write an act, a routine.
Right. Right.
I can maybe do crowd work, but I don't think that that's necessarily, you know, something that people want to see most.
Look at this sweater wearing motherfucker.
Yeah, I would feel bad. I'd feel bad after the show. Yeah. Like most people are afraid of spiders or snakes. I'm afraid of hurting people's feelings.
Yeah.
You know, and I just couldn't do that.
Yeah. No, I definitely get that.
Why do you think that I should do stand-up comedy? Do you think I'm
funny? Oh, God, no. You should stay far away from it as you should. No, I was just saying that. For as depressed as you are, as comics say they are, and how depressed you say you are, you should do stand-up comedy, but you shouldn't. You're good. No, you are a good editor. I brought stuff back to you, and you're able to edit it.
Yeah.
I'm good at just throwing shit out there and hoping shit sticks to the wall.
Yeah, you can write, and I can't. So you come back to me, and you present these ideas, and I say, well, what about this? Try this. What about this? Mm-hmm. And then you can pick from what you think is best.
Right.
But like, if you've come back to me, and you've said, I need a joke about Arizona. And, like, you come back an hour and a half later, and I'm just like, I got nothing.
Which we all know, Arizona, the funniest state.
Oh, hilarious.
In the United States. I don't know why you couldn't think of a joke for it right away.
I mean, Santa Fe. See, I got nothing.
This is where I need my sound effects board on the thing, and crickets would have played there.
I got nothing.
Or the hi-hat. But yeah,
is this recording?
We're still recording.
Okay, all right. First podcast I didn't hit record, so.
Well, I'm a professional.
Okay.
So I know what I'm doing here. But no, you got out of the divorce, you're here, you have your dream job, you're losing weight, you look great.
Thank you. I lost 60 pounds this year.
I told you I don't like skinny Spangle. Bigger Spangle is way funnier and kinder.
Kinder. That is funny. Like, skinny people are really, like, you're the biggest dick I know.
Yeah, I'm so horrible.
Little. Yeah, like, fat people are jolly, they're funnier. Yeah,
look at Santa.
I don't miss sweating all the time. Like, I would... there's no heat in here. It's probably, what, 55 degrees in here?
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is.
Easily 55?
Yeah, easily 55.
And I would be sitting here sweating 60 pounds ago. Now yeah. I have a coat on.
Yeah. This is... Well, I mean, you just ate some Jimmy John's from the buffet that I have laid out. I have a buffet.
Full spread. You have a craft service. I don't know how, for a podcast that is just launching, you were able to afford craft services.
Craft services. There's cider. There's beverages. You don't drink alcohol.
I don't.
And of course, at the Christmas party we went to, our drinks got switched up. And this is like your first time having a drink in like... So you're not an alcoholic, but you have...
No, I have... Never drank. I have tasted alcohol. When I was like 15 or 16, we were on a family vacation and with my then mom's boyfriend's daughters, and they were 16 and 18. and they were slamming back a cartoon-sized bottle of vodka from the drugstore. And so I'm just like, all right, well, they're my age. Well, let me get, you know, they're not going to care if I take a little Dixie cup of this, see what it's like. Mm-hmm. And this was the grossest thing I've ever put in my mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And I've put a lot of things in my mouth.
Okay, weird. Let's keep it PG.
Oh, okay. I had no curiosity after that as to what alcohol tasted. I saw everybody kind of make a fool of themselves. I don't drink coffee. I don't really drink soda anymore. I don't drink alcohol. I've never tried drugs. I just don't have any curiosity about what it's like to be drunk or, you know. So the fast forward to the Christmas party, I like to drink ginger ale. I think ginger ale is a fine beverage.
And I like to drink ginger ale with Jameson inside of it.
And the waiter mixed it up at the party, and I basically spit everything back into the drink and was like, here, this is yours.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, and then I felt horrible because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if I made you fall off the wagon.
Because you didn't know at that point that it's just like a personal.
Yeah.
It's just, I just don't drink. Like, I know that I have. Like, if I eat a bag of M&M's, I'm like, this one M&M tastes really good. What do all these M&M's in my mouth at once taste like? So I know that if I drank, it'd be bad and I'd be an alcoholic, so I just don't.
Yeah.
You at the time didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to go on a bender and it's my fault.
So now you're single, you lost weight. Are you in the dating game? You dating now? How's that going?
I've been on Tinder twice. Start it, delete it. No success there. I had been on Match.com. No success there. I don't think that's how people actually meet anybody in this day and age.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But how are you supposed to meet someone when you're stuck in an office from 6 a.m. till 1 in the afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, luckily I have such a huge circle of friends that I have
we get it. People like you. Okay.
I know. I'm sorry.
I have a huge circle of friends.
I didn't mean to hit a nerve there. But, you know, I'm fortunate.
I hope I'm not coming off as a dick.
Way to call me out, dick.
Am I coming off as a dick?
No, I feel like now I'm self-conscious that I'm coming off like a dick. Now I'm going to ask you not to post this.
You seem like a know-it-all. I'm getting tweets right now. This is live. People are saying you sound like a know-it. No, I'm kidding.
So I have a big circle of friends, not a huge circle, a larger, above average, highly fulfilling, glamorous circle of friends. And I've dated a couple girls. I can't say that I have any desire to be in anything that even remotely resembles a relationship at this point.
Do you think you'll get married again at some point?
You can't say never.
Will I be in the wedding?
I can't say that I have any desire to ever live with anyone ever again.
Gloss over that question. That's fine.
Or get married again.
Okay. And so I won't be in the wedding.
If you can make it through the next year at work and not get yourself fired, then maybe. But if you get fired and we'll never talk again.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Am I getting fired? Do you know something I don't?
I can't say anything. I don't like to lie to people.
Okay.
I'm joking with you. Your face sank. Oh, I felt bad. I was screwing with you, and your face literally went from, all right, I'm having a podcast, to, oh, sweet baby Jesus.
I got
to
return this equipment.
Like you were packing
it up. I got rent to pay. One time we were... You're in your office, and one of the higher-ups was in your office, and you had him call me in, and he goes, Jeff, sit down, shut the door. And I just, oh, my God. This is right after I was worried about being, I don't know why I'm always worried about being fired. I'm just worried that I'm not good enough and I'm not doing my job right when I'm doing it perfectly fine.
Right, yeah. I'm that way, too. I am naturally paranoid, so
yeah.
I am meeting every goal that is set for me, and I still think that I'm going to be fired at any moment.
Yeah, which is probably good.
It's a little bit of being self-conscious and not being insecure. It's insecurity.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm not good enough to be here, but, you know, you do a fine job. Everyone likes you. You're not getting fired as far as I know.
Okay.
And I would be probably the last person to tell to be able to tell you. But no, I enjoy a practical joke. And
I've got a contract through December 31st. So,
and so one of the higher-ups was like, I said, you know, maybe give Mouse a pat on the back. He's a little paranoid. He thinks he's getting fired, you know, and he does an awesome job. And, you know,
by the way, they call me Mouse on the show because I look like Mouse from The Matrix.
Right. So,
not because I'm a skinny, small of stature person. I'm 5'8". I'm 5'9". I'm above average height.
You have a, not that you have a mousy face. You have a very nice face.
My dad is always like, why do you let them call you that? Like, no one's going to, people aren't going to call my son Mouse. Like,
shut up, Dad. You're the one who told me that I was allowed to work there.
Yeah. Yeah. God, I still can't believe Tom made me ask my parents. And the sad thing is I went home and asked. I was like, hey, I told them about it. I didn't ask them. I just told them. I was like, hey, is it cool?
No,
that's again. That's asked. So okay, we're gonna wrap this up in a little bit.
I feel like there's so much more to say, though.
Oh, there's tons more to say.
We haven't talked about you at all.
Good. No, the reason why I have guests on here is because I'm so boring. All my dating life is boring. Every relationship has gone perfectly, and then it's ended perfectly. I have all my stuff together.
I'm an amazing person.
I'm a great person.
My smile is pearly white.
I literally have no problems. I wake up in the morning. I
greet, that is not true.
I greet the day. I yawn. I go, oh, good morning, everyone. I wave out my window to my neighbors.
Birds dress you.
Birds dress me. Everything is perfect in my life. I don't have heat in my house right now. You think things are going perfectly? We are in our winter coats right now.
Yeah, we are.
Maybe we can go a little longer on this first one since
you're how old?
I'm 24.
24.
And that's one thing is I get nervous about are things going the way they should be. I'm 24 years old and I'm in a pretty good position. And it takes me telling like someone like, oh, so what do you do? And I go, oh, I work for this show. I do that. And like, oh, wow, that's awesome. I'm like, I guess that is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And it takes me talking to other people about it. So I don't know.
When I was 24, I was working.
Addicted to sex.
I was addicted to sex. Unfortunately, no one would have it with me. I was living in my mom's basement and working for my dad as a janitor. And I was making $19,000 a year, maybe. I was getting a paycheck of $300 every. I was making like $600-$700 a month. And I was way in debt. I had dropped out of college. I had no career prospects whatsoever. All I had was like a part-time job at the lowest-rated AM station in Indianapolis. And eventually I was able to turn that into a full-time job on the morning show, which turned into being the executive director of the Libertarian Party of Indiana, which turned into an ad job, which turned into this job.
Yeah.
You know, so you never know, like, where... And at 24, I would have killed to meet Bob, Tom, Chick,
yeah,
Christy,
yeah.
Let alone possibly conceive that I would have the skills or the ability to work for them.
Yeah.
Because at 24, I didn't have the skills that I have now. Right. Like, you know, I have the drive to work hard, but I didn't have, so I started building my own website at 24, and doing that led to the skills that I have now. But I think when you're 24 and you have no money and you feel like, am I doing this right?
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes when you're that age, and I'm still this way that I'm trying to get out of it, this predicament that which I have found myself this last year has taught me this. It's not about where you're going to get or the destination. It's about how things are going through the journey, you know, not to sound douchey.
Right. No.
Like, it just enjoying the day that you have instead of going, oh, geez, this day, I didn't get this done. I didn't get that done. I didn't make this amount of money. I didn't get this thing. I didn't treat this person, you know. You just wake up every day, try to do your best, try to treat people well, and then you end up working for the Bob and Tom show.
So that goes for everyone.
I remember going to Crackers and going to comedy shows because I had a friend who worked at Crackers, the front desk, and I was so jealous of her.
Yeah.
In 2005, 2006, like I saw Tosh at Crackers,
right,
when he was like a nobody, just thinking, I'm so jealous of her. She gets to work here. This is the coolest job ever.
Mm-hmm.
you know, wanting all these different things and all the things that, like, you're doing, I would have killed to have done at your position. So you're right. So much farther ahead of where, like, somebody who, if they were in your position at 30, excuse me, you know, Martha Stewart didn't write her first cookbook till she was 40. You know, Steve Jobs was a failure till he was like 40.
Well, Martha Stewart's killing the game right now.
Martha Stewart is the baddest bitch in town,
she
okay? Is.
She's been to prison.
She could fix and ride a motorcycle, come over, perfectly please you as a man, but she doesn't have to, and that's why she's awesome.
Okay, well, this just got weird.
Martha, call me.
Okay. Martha Stewart actually is a listener. I just got a tweet that said Martha's listening. What if she was? What if Martha Stewart was my biggest fan?
There's four listeners. Martha Stewart's one of them.
Dale in Arizona. Martha Stewart. Arizona, the funniest state.
Your mom, Karen. By the way, a little piece of advice. Don't expect your family to give one half of a shit about this podcast.
I do not care. I I think my mom might listen to one and be like, why did you say butthole?
Do your parents, like my parents, just are hoping that I can make like a functional income that I can pay all my bills and not like go into bankruptcy. But like, there's still time for you. There's still hope for you. Like, do your parents have an expectation? Are they like disappointed you didn't go into marketing or accounting?
I remember when I first started doing stand-up comedy and my parents didn't really know they have no idea what it is still, really. They don't get it.
Right.
They just take my word for it that, oh, you're doing this thing. I don't know. They can't wrap their head around it, really.
So is that like that thing we see on Saturday nights at 11:30?
Yeah, no. That's all they know is what they've seen on TV.
Right.
So they just assume I'm Louis C.K. no, but they...
Then they showed up, saw your act, and were greatly disappointed.
My dad showed up to one show, and it was just the worst show ever. And I just remember... I remember looking at him while I was on stage and going, I wanted to quit school for this. Good thing I didn't. On with the jokes. my mom was just like, I know you want to do stand up and you think it's going to work, but maybe you should start looking for like an internship or something, or start looking for like it couldn't hurt. And I was like, well, mom, I want to do comedy. And then I started driving comedians for a comedy club to the Bob and Tom show. And one day I was in the green room and Joni, Tom's assistant, walks in and just goes, I was like, hey, do you have any internships? I will literally do anything. And she just goes, we're kind of full. So, and I was like, anything.
Really?
And then one thing led to another. And I remember texting the other intern, is there a dress code? Should I wear anything? And I just showed up to work and started doing stuff. And then Tom came back and was like, hey, you know, you can write stories if you want and send them in. And I started sending in stories. And then now I have a job there. And then I got my office taken away. And now I'm in an office with a window.
So I know, because they were going to put you like either in my office or in a closet. And yeah. I was like, why don't you clean out that room and let him see the studio?
Yeah, and that it does help. It's great.
And it is funny, when I got there full-time in mid-November of last year, like the difference between you then and you now is big. And I remember like I had been there like a day and a half. And I gave you a tour
yeah,
of the rest
yeah.
of the building. Yeah. Like, it was so funny because you had been there for
5 months, maybe?
5 months,
yeah.
And you had never been to the back. And I'm like, and here's Bob and Tom's first studio and their second studio.
My motto is just get in the way as little as possible.
I know.
And that's what I try to do. And I'm starting to come out of my shell a little bit. And
yeah. I'm the exact opposite. I'm like, how can I insert myself into this problem?
Yeah, yeah. I try not to do that. I don't want to be a burden on anyone.
Yeah. Honestly, and that's how I got to where I'm at is because
Can you not touch the equipment? Can you not quit?
Sorry, I'm fidgeting.
No, I'm kidding. You're fine. Anyone who knows me knows I'm the most fidgety person in the world.
So I remember you were, I think it was like December. I'd been there like a month, barely had been there.
Right.
And Joni was showing some people around and she's like, and this is Jeff. He's our former intern. I'm like, what kind of title is that? That was your title.
Dean still calls me an intern. I'm still an intern. Like, this is our intern, Mouse. I'm like, what?
Jason's still an intern and he's been there like 20 years.
Yeah.
And so I remember like later on that day, I go, Jeff, what's your title? Do you have a title? And you go, no one's really ever said anything. I was like, what would you put on a resume?
CEO funny, right?
Right.
That's what, so, is that what I said?
So no, he, you're like, I don't really know. Why would I need a resume? Am I getting fired? And I said, no. And
I the firing.
I go, so Tom came in to ask you and I a question. I go, by the way, Tom, what is Jeff's title? And Tom turns around and looks at me and he goes, are you serious? This is the first time Tom had given me what
this
we
is the
call
first,
the look.
This is the first time I'm hearing this story.
And I go, yeah, like, what would Jeff put on a business card? And he goes, business card? And I go, yeah. He goes, I don't know. Make something up. Jeff, make up whatever title you'd like. And so then you came up with CEO of Funny.
Damn straight.
What are some other titles you gave yourself?
Fear of Funny, CEO of Funny. college graduate in quotes. That was you.
Yeah.
I haven't received my diploma yet, so
no,
that could be.
You went to, you graduated. It's the college part.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Suspicion. I went to a weird school. Yeah. That might not be your school.
DeVry. And so we settled on video coordinator for you, but
right.
It was just like nobody had even told you your title.
Do you, my business cards are, I have some business cards in my bedroom right now. That's what I tell girls. Would you like to see one?
No.
But it says writer and executive video coordinator. I have my own business card.
Did you seriously put executive on there?
Oh, yeah. They told me...
Technically, I would be the executive video.
They asked what my title was. Listen, they asked me what my title was, and I gave them my title. So
mine is webmaster, and you just know that like some fat virgin 40 years ago was like, I am the webmaster.
What is the dungeon master?
Dungeon master. It's probably like some title that some like nerd, and then like the boss who doesn't know anything about technology is like, okay, webmaster, and like all the nerds turn around to each other and they go,
okay, now I'm scared.
Yeah. So no, it's funny. We have had someone start recently that is a good dude and is now our boss, and he's the best boss we've ever had. He's amazing. Great guy. Love him.
Yeah.
Jeff, stop making that noise. And,
no, he's great, except for the fact that he is a Packers fan. And I can
I am
him
a
for
huge
that.
Packers fan.
I hate
and him. Not just because Tom is.
Yeah. I am whatever fan you want me to be. What's your favorite team? That's my favorite team.
No, that's my NFC team.
So, okay, so you're one of the people that has multiple teams, which yeah. I can't stand.
You're a Patriots fan.
I didn't. Chick today said my team, and Chick said the biggest mistake I've ever made is letting people know what my team is.
Right.
And he's a Reds, a Washington Football Club fan. This podcast is all about equality. But no, he gets shit for that, and it's not even a team that like people hate, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the Patriots are a team that people hate, and they just love to hate. The Redskins didn't do anything. The Washington Football Club didn't do anything. Didn't do anything to anyone.
They didn't do anything. Anything.
Leave them alone.
Leave the Redskins alone.
Well, Washington Football Club. I'll edit sorry. This later.
All right.
Okay, let's start to wrap it up. Can we pause it so I can get some more coffee?
Just walk away. You can edit it out later.
It's good for the folks.
That's I really need to get. I need to get going.
Okay. Well, this is awkward.
I've had quite enough of this.
Did I offend you? Is that... No.
No, it's not all about you, Jeff.
Well, my throat... I need some warm cider. You gotta pay attention to the pipes. When the pipes bring in the paychecks, you gotta pay attention to them.
Oh, God.
I'm sure you go get manicures and stuff, right? For your...
No. For my typing?
For your hand? Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm the web director now.
You gotta pay attention
Listen,
to those.
Listen, these hands, this is where all the money is.
All right. Don't take care of them. See what happens. You're fine now when you're 29, but wait till you're 40 and your fingers are falling off and you can't do your job. And I'll be laughing with a glass of warm cider and my pipes will be perfect.
You'll sound like a what was the comedian we had on today?
Perfect pitch pipes. Yeah. What's his Sibley? James Sibley?
Sibley.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Great voice. Oh.
Perfect voice.
I think I might start smoking just so I can have a better
no
voice.
No kidding.
This
is as deep as my voice gets.
Yes, this is how I'm going to start talking from now on the podcast.
But see, like, I think in my head, I sound like really deep when I talk like this. And I sound exactly the same.
You sound like a schmo, all right?
Right.
I don't know what a schmo is, but...
It's a schmeckle.
A schmeck. You sound like an idiot, all right? No. So this is, yeah. And when I was in, when I was a junior, I was dating a senior. But one time we were walking down the hallway, and she goes, I don't know why I threw that in there. This is like on the podcast today. I was talking about my cross-country escapades, and I was like, why? This was 8 years ago. Why am I? I still wear my high school letter jacket in public to the bars. Do you see this? This is a captain's patch. I was the captain.
Okay, Uncle Rico.
I am your captain now. Anyways.
What you were dating? Where are you going with this?
I'm going back to...
Clean it up.
Sorry, we were walking down the hallway.
I got my keys ready.
In the business, that's what we call riffing.
Okay.
riffing bits. No, I was walking
down the... I know, when you told me that I came over to your house, you'd teach me everything I needed to know about show business. I was expecting sex, but...
Yeah.
I ended up on a podcast, okay.
Okay,
That's a joke. We're not gay.
We'll edit that out.
I'm not gay. He's not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Like I said, the Jeff Vibbert podcast is all about equality. All walks of life are welcome.
Even squirrels.
But we're walking down the hallway, and she goes, your voice is so nasally. And I just go, oh. So my biggest fear when doing this podcast is, will people listen even though my voice is very nasally and awful? So if you have stuck with us through the first 53 minutes, so as the first episode of the podcast, what did you think so far about the podcast?
I thought because I was on it, it was amazing.
Okay. Other than that,
how you did?
How did I do? Grade me on this. Do you
think a little twitchy, little nervous?
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't.
But no, I think it was serviceable.
Okay,
so I would listen to a second episode of this.
Give it a chance. Yeah, stick with the podcast.
Listen,
I'm turning away from Spangle. Stick with the podcast. We're gonna have better guests on later, and we'll have comedians. We'll have.
Joe, your roommate?
We'll have Joe, my roommate. Maybe my mom will join. Who knows? It's quite a cast of characters.
Karen will be on the podcast.
Oh, Karen. I don't know if she'd be excited about it or what.
I
want to see Karen.
I want Karen to be interviewed because I want to know where this deep-seated insecurity that you have came from.
Ooh, that.
Too real.
That's too close to home.
Too real.
I don't know if my dad or my mom. My dad would probably be. Better? I don't know. Ugh, this is weird. New topic. We'll have them both on and we'll see what happens.
Why don't you have one in the other room, interview one, switch them out, and then bring them together and surprise them with each other's answers. Like a
newlywed?
The newlywed
game. Newlywed game?
Do that with your parents. That might be entertaining.
That could be entertaining. They just bought a new house. We're moving out of my childhood home. That's sad.
Cool. See, there's a cool story right there, bro.
Yeah. Bye-bye childhood memories. So yeah, it was okay. It was good.
No, it's good.
Okay. Yeah, this is a podcast.
I honestly, I don't know. I don't know if it was good or not because I just sat here and talked. And
yeah.
I don't think that people inherently would find me interesting. So.
Well, we'll have to ask Dale in Arizona and Martha Stewart to respond.
Maybe, you know, you'll have Chick on, and Chick and Jess can come on your podcast.
Yeah.
And people will listen to that, because that will be
great. Yeah, and maybe that'll get some people.
Professional broadcasters.
Yeah, and that'll be great. I'm interested to talk to them. Not that I was
Thanks,
interested
Dick.
To talk to you. I knew what I was doing, and I set that up.
He
just dropped the microphone.
Asshole.
Where can people find you? You said you have your own podcast.
Yep, We Are Libertarians. You can find it anywhere. Just look for We Are Libertarians if you're into politics. It's not like your typical political podcast. It's sort of, you know, we talk politics, but it's also not dry and boring and
right.
stupid. You know, so try to actually be funny and, you know, have built up a couple thousand listeners an episode over the last few years, and it's pretty entertaining. You find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
At C Spangle?
At Chris Spangle.
At Chris Spangle?
Not at the Chris Spangle.
Oh, sorry.
I'm not pretentious. Like
I had to streamline everything and get it all on the same page, because some asshole took Jeff, at Jeff Vibbert. That asshole was me, and I forgot the password to the account. So now all my stuff is at the Jeff Vibbert. And of course, I had someone text me and be like, why'd you change your thing to the Jeff Vibbert? Do you think you're better than us now? Like, Yeah, I do think I'm bigger than Ronnie. Yeah.
After being on Chick's podcast today, I mean, you walked in, you dropped it.
This never happened. This never happened. I did tell you to go get me a bottled water. Though,
you did.
When I was standing 2 feet away from it.
Like, aren't you going to serve me now?
But that was just me being me. No, that was one thing. Like, Chick like called me in and I was like, I don't deserve to be on this. I haven't done anything. I don't know why you'd want to talk to me.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was entertaining. Like, I listened to every Chick McGee podcast, and I would say you were definitely in the top 100 of the 120 episodes.
Heck yeah. Hey, I can't complain. At least I wasn't the worst. I think that's my goal in life. I just don't want to be the worst.
I can just be average.
Yeah. Yeah. So, this is the podcast. Chris Spangle is our guest, our first guest for the first podcast. Hopefully, we'll have many more, and we can all grow old together. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Sure, this is your big chance to, like, do an outro or something.
Good night and good luck.
I think that's taken.
Peace out, fucking haters! Should that be it?
Perfect.
We'll edit that out.
Nope, leave that in.
I don't know how you found this podcast, but jeffvibbert.com is the website. You can email me and tell me how shitty it was or how you liked it. Give us some suggestions. Maybe you'll hear, I don't know. Yeah, email me. I don't know. JeffVibbert.com, @TheJeffVibbert on Twitter and all that crap. So thank you, Chris Spangle, for coming on and setting this up and helping me out.
It was a great pleasure.
Yeah, I had fun. So that's it.
No, do your outro.
Peace out, fucking haters.